Cool. It's nice to have the cool weather now, and it's really exciting to have the feast coming up soon, the Feast of Tabernacles, as well as the other feast days. But today we're here, as mentioned in the opening prayer, we're here for a very special Sabbath day today, of course, the first day of this seventh month in God's calendar. Of course, the Roman calendar messes us all up because which day is the God's seventh month and which isn't, but we know that this is the first day of the seventh month in God's calendar. We're here keeping, of course, the Feast of Trumpets, the fourth step in God's plan for mankind. God's plan to create spirit beings. There's a lot in that. God has a plan now to create spirit beings, and we can be a part of that. And we're here to reflect on part of that plan, the seventh step plan. So, in this process, we realize today pictures a soon coming event that's going to change the world, change the way we live, the world lives. A world, of course, that as we see more and more on the news, is totally rejecting God's way of life. And we see it gradually coming in to this in ways that we've really never imagined before. So this morning, let's look and let's start the messages today by looking at the purpose for the Feast of Trumpets. Why are we here? Why the Feast of Trumpets? Why does that play a part in God's plan? I'm giving today, hopefully, a taste of to whet your appetite for what's in the other messages today, but mainly to lay the groundwork on why we're here.
The title of the sermonette today is Why Are We Here? Why the Feast of Trumpets? In order to better understand why we're here, I'd like to turn over to a scripture over in Deuteronomy 12. Israelites were ready to go into the promised land, and God was giving them some final instructions and some warnings in this case. So over in Deuteronomy 12, there's something we all need to be aware of and conscious of whenever we're looking and speaking or communicating about God's truth. We know how to make sure we understand this principle here that God gave to ancient Israel. Over in Deuteronomy 12, let's start in verse 28. It says, "Observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you and after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God." Verse 29, "When the Lord your God cuts you off from the nations, or cuts them off the nations from you, and dispossesses them, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourselves that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, 'How did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise.' You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, or even and every abomination to the Lord which he hates they have done to their gods, for they even burn their children, their sons and daughters, in the fire of their gods." And then in verse 32, "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it." So as we look at God's holy days, these are from God. And these aren't something that man made come up with. But this is what we have to make sure we're careful in what we do. Are we doing what God says about this day? So with that in mind, now let's turn over to Leviticus 23. Of course, God gives us some specific commands about the holy days over in Leviticus 23. We turn there almost every holy day to get our feet on the ground, to make sure we're standing in the right place. We've got things in the proper order. So, we look at Leviticus 23, as I said, in verse 1. Let's start there to give us some introduction to it. And so the Lord said to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts.'" So that's the introduction to it. These are my feasts, not man's feasts, not the Jewish feasts. These are God's feasts. And then he goes through in verse 3, talking about the Sabbath day, giving some instructions about the Sabbath day as being a holy convocation, and we're to keep it every seventh day. And then in verse 4, he repeats about the feast days. "These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times." And then in verse 5, it talks about the Passover, and we kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, picturing Jesus Christ's sacrifice for our sins. And we rehearsed that back in early spring. Then in verse 16, we went through that. We went through on the 15th day of the first month. For 7 days, we kept the days of unleavened bread, picturing our repentance and our putting sin out of our lives. And we realized that was part of God's plan that had to take place before today. And then in verse 15, it talks about counting 50 days from the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. And we kept the Feast of Pentecost. Of course, we learned that as the first fruits, we received the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And God promises that at baptism. And we surrender to Him and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so that brings us up to where we are today. Because those are the first three steps. This is a pivotal holy day, the fourth one out of the seven. And so in verse 24, we'll look here and let's read what God says starting in verse 23 about this day we're keeping. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, speak to my people, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." So this is the instructions here, the foundational structure of what we're doing today, keeping the Feast of Trumpets. And it talks about here some very important things that we need to remember. It says there's a Sabbath rest, and we are keeping a Sabbath rest today here. It's a memorial of trumpet blowing. To remember it, something has to do with the trumpets on this day that's going to signify a part of what it represents. It's a holy convocation for us. We're here, we're meeting together, and it's holy. God has called this assembly, not us, not man. But we've come here because of that. And we're not supposed to be laboring on this day. We're not going to our normal jobs, and we're here in a resting, not working. You know, and as we, and an offering was made to God as well. It says, in this case, it was a fire offering at that time, but we also, as we find out, we bring an offering to God on this day. So one of the things that stands out, of course, of all these things is different than the other holy days is, what is it? The blowing of trumpets. And so that has some specific difference from the other holy days, but there's a remembrance here that, hey, there's something we're to remember here about the blowing of the trumpets is going to signify what's going to happen in the future. So the Hebrew word here for blowing of trumpets is Strong's 8643, and it's T-E-R-U-A-H. So I won't even attempt that, but T-E-R-U-A-H, Tirah, I believe, so close to that. But that's the Hebrew word. And the meaning in Strong's, it says it can represent a shout of joy, a shout of alarm, a battle cry, a shout for joy or victory, a great shout anticipating a coming event. And as we understand, and we've gone through the Feast of Trumpets, we understand that each one of them plays a role in it, really. You know, it's a shout of joy for what it's going to represent. It's a shout of alarm because it isn't going to be a pleasant time. It's a time of battle cry. There's going to be battles involved. And it's a shout of victory. We know the victory is going to go to Jesus Christ, and when he's, as we will explain later. But that's anticipating this great event. You know, so there's a lot right in that few verses here that represents, it gives us some key information about what this day is all about and what's going to take place and how it fits into God's master plan. So, you know, when you read this, you think, okay, it doesn't give all the answers here, does it? It just gives us an outline of what's going to take place and what we're commanded to do is to be here. And so, you know, as we think about that, we need to look over at one scripture I like to turn to just to refresh my memory. Okay, what does that represent back in ancient Israel time, and what does it do for us today? Well, let's go over to Colossians 2. And I'll briefly start in verse 8 here. And, of course, it's talking to the church there, God's people in Colossia. And it starts in verse 8 by saying, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." So that was a warning. And then it went on a little further over in verse 16. The warning continues. It says, "So let no one judge you in food or drink, or in regard of a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. That fills in a lot of information here that's going to be able to take us to the next stage of God's plan. You realize that it talks about festivals here and new moons. Of course, this is a new moon, a festival today. But it's both in this situation. It doesn't fall always on a new moon, but it is this year on this Sabbath day and the first of the month. Of course, it falls on that, of course, each year. But it's a shadow. This day is a shadow of what is to come. What is that? What is the shadow? The holy days are the shadow. Now, what's the real substance? What is the substance? Well, it says the substance is Jesus Christ. Okay, well, but how does that fit in? You know, what is that substance? Is there more information we can gather from this? Well, the answer to this is found over in the book of Revelation. Of course, the book of Revelation was written about end time prophecy. We all understand that when you read the first chapter, beginning of it. It's what it says. It's about prophecy given to God's people, God's church. And John wrote down what God gave him. And so, you know, the answer is over there. So we find an answer to the true substance and the meaning of the Feast of Trumpets over in Revelation 11. I could have gone to several chapters over here, but that one really keys in a little bit more about what this day represents. You could also look at Revelation 19 as well. That sort of puts it in sequence, what's going to happen after the Feast of Trumpets. And you go from chapter 19 to 20, and then tells you the Day of Atonement. It describes it. But here it explains what's going on, what this day really represents. Revelation 11 and verse 15. Of course, earlier in the chapter 8 and 9, if you remember reading through those in the past, it talks about the trumpet plates, the trumpet things are going to be after the seals. And so you've got seven trumpets being sounded by the angels in the earlier verses. And this is the seventh trump that the angels to sound at the end time. And let's read it in verse 15. And then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." I'm sure we're going to hear more about this in the messages coming out today, but that's what this day represents. You know, it's in a sermon yet, you don't have time to cover all these things, but this highlights it and sort of whets our appetite. And hopefully in the messages today and also in your study, personal study. And you can go into more details in that through the correspondence courses and things that helps point you to scriptures that leads to this. But that's what this day is all about. It's about Jesus Christ's return to this earth. Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth and set up his government. And that shows a sequence at the seventh trump. And so we have Feast of Trumpets. We have all these other trumpets sounded. A lot of destruction is going to come during those first six trumpets. There's going to be a lot of destruction on this earth. And so now we see that seventh trump sounding, and then Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth and set up God's government on this earth, God's kingdom. And we have an opportunity to be a part of that and do it if we do what God says, follow his instructions. So today pictures this event. The blowing of the seventh trumpet, the return of Jesus Christ to this earth to set up God's coming kingdom. That's why we're here today, to remember this, to never forget it, to remember, because it is going to take place. And we are have that opportunity to be a part of it, remembering and preparing for this day as well. That's our responsibility, to prepare, to make sure we are doing what God says, doing what God commands. That's why we're here today. Remembering and preparing for Christ's return to this earth at the sound of the seventh trump. This is the fourth step in God's plan for mankind, and that's why we're here on this seventh day of the seventh month, keeping the Feast of Trumpets 2020. So it's a lot of things in there, but we're going to hear more about that today in the other messages. But that's why we're here, and something we want to continue to always remember and never forget. But as we keep the fall festival season, which includes today the Feast of Trumpets, of course, God made one more request of each one of us. It's found over in Deuteronomy 16. Turn over to that. Deuteronomy 16. Scripture we turn to on each of the holy days as well, just to remind us why we do this. But it covers in earlier verses in chapter 16, the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles. But it sums it up here in verse 16. It says, three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, of course includes Passover, at the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, which of course includes this day, the Feast of Trumpets, the fall seasons, and the Feast of Day of Atonement, and of course the last great day besides the Feast of Tabernacles. But it says, God says, to come here before him, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. So as you read that, it makes you realize God wants us to come before him and not to be empty-handed, to give some type of offering. How God's blessed you, whether great or small. God says, hey, this is an opportunity for us to show God that we appreciate what he does for us. And everything that he does is in his hands. And he guides us and directs us, and the blessings that come our way, we can thank him for that. And this is an opportunity, one of the opportunities we have to show God thanks, to give him thanks in some form of an offering. So at this time, we will be taking up an offering. If anyone needs an envelope, you can raise your hand. Usher can go get that for you. Anyone needs one? Okay, I think everyone has one, so we're okay there. We're going to take up the offering a little bit differently following the state of Illinois guidelines. We're just going to have one person come through and bring the basket by you and just put the offering in the basket, and then that would go according to the state regulations. So we don't want to lose this place because we do something wrong. So at this time we will be having offertory music. Miss Sandy Curtis is going to be playing Processionals from George Frederick Handel. So at this time we'll have the offering.